Before we get started, I'm going to give you a chance to pause it here and grab yourself your favorite beverage. So go get yourself a coffee, a green tea, a rum and coke, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, it doesn't matter. Make sure you drink responsibly and in moderation. Now, for those of you that are going to be drinking what we're drinking, what you can do is go make yourself an apple kicker. You can find the recipe on our social media. And grab your dancing shoes while you're at it, because we're about to feel those vibes.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
Dave Chappelle has a new special out, and if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It is exactly the kind of thing that you would expect from Chappelle, and is exactly what you need to be watching right now. At least that's my thoughts. Nick, what are you thinking on that?
No, it's actually good news. Like, it's I think what he did was he addressed a lot of situations. He brought up Don Lemon. I don't know if you guys know who Don Lemon is, but he's a CNN news reporter. He basically talked about why aren't celebrities coming out? And Chappelle goes, well, why, what is a celebrity going to do? A lot of people are saying, well, they have a platform to make awareness. But I feel like individuals, including you and me, have the platform to make a change, right? So I think that's what Chappelle is kind of going with, saying, well, it's you guys that should be doing this. I don't want to take the center of attention and, you know, take it away from all these younger people trying to make a change for the new world, right? So which makes sense. You know, and I think some celebrities kind of hurt themselves during this whole time, and a lot, I guess, we're trying to make up for situations that they did wrong in the past. I don't know, like, for example, I'm thinking of like Mayweather. He's willing to pay for the funeral, great gesture on his part, but obviously, what's the real reason behind it, right? George Floyd was the good friend of Steven Jackson. And Steven Jackson has lots of money. So, I like, you know, just there's those types of things. But back to Chappelle, I think with him, he laid everything down. He basically pulled it out how it is. And a lot of people may not like it. A lot of people, like, I loved it. Like, for me, Dave Chappelle will always be, like, the greatest entertainer, comedian of all time. To me, in my eyes, like, he is, like, he's what people see LeBron or MJ. To me, that's how I see him. He's literally my MJ when it comes to comedy. So
I can't even disagree with you on that regard, especially because of what you mentioned earlier about you saying, like, celebrities coming forward and attaching their name to the George Floyd tragedy. And you're wondering, right? Like, when you hear some of these names, and maybe it's just the cynical sides of us, I don't know, but when you hear some of these names, you're always kind of like, whoa, cool gesture, that's awesome, but why is this guy attached to it? Why is this guy attached to it? And Chappelle even kind of spoke to that himself, as you mentioned, where he's saying, I don't want to throw my name in the ring and take attention away from the cause that's going on, and taking it away from all the young people that are making this movement happen. They don't need to hear from me. And then he leads into the very reason, though, why we should be hearing from him, like we just said, is he's been saying this, like, and that's the thing that a lot of people are missing. He didn't just start this a special or two specials ago. Like, he's been talking about this for 15 years. Like, he's always woven in some social commentary into his routines. And he's always taking the stuff and taking time off camera and off to talk about this and to attend certain events. And I know he's in touch with it himself because of his family history, which he even alludes to in this special here. But so much of it is he's saying, okay, I have something to say about this, but why would you want to hear from me? And I think the reason, like you just said, we respect what he has to say for comedy, but also from just like a natural human being perspective of it, because he is well-versed and we're a little bit older. You're way younger than me, but, you know, still in that age range where we want to hear what he has to say, because we know that he's been saying this for a while and we trust that what he's going to say is going to be relevant, and we don't think that he's just going to glam on to something just for the fame of it. He turned down $50 million if that's what he was chasing, because he didn't like some of the stuff that was going on with his own show. So you don't think he's going to just jump on a bandwagon, like we're saying, maybe, and we don't know, but maybe some of these other celebrities are starting to do.
I give big props to celebrities who, you know, went on the streets and protest, right? You had like MMA fighters, you had, you know, actors making a big stand. You had rappers doing that, J. Cole, you know, Kendrick Lamar. You had what's his name from Star Wars, John, what's his name?
Bojega?
Yeah. So he but like his biggest thing was it was really, really huge, because he literally went and said, I don't really care if I make another film after this, I got to do what's right. And I think that's huge. It's huge, right? And, you know, and again, I feel like some other people roam the streets for the wrong reasons, celebrities. So, but again, everyone's doing things for their own agenda. I think the worst thing out of all this is the looting. I think that's what's kind of killing stuff. It's feeding to the people who are against protesting against all this. It's giving them ammunition to show, well, look what they're doing. They're looting, right? For example, that individual that just passed away, that got shot in the back twice in Atlanta. I don't know if you heard that in the news. Like, he just got shot back twice near Wendy's, and they just literally looted the entire Wendy's. Like, what is Wendy's have to do with anything? And I just kind of feel bad when it comes to stuff like that, because small business get affected, you know, even that are even black owned, right? And they, you know, you're ruining their business all because of what gets looting. I don't understand the looting part. You can do protesting, you can go against the police, but what does breaking somebody's business and their life have to do with you? Right? What does that have to do with it? Like, you're not making a cause just because you're destroying something.
And I think that was one of the things that, especially towards the end of the special, that Chappelle mentioned, was the fact that this is like one of the last places we're going to have a few more conversations where you can have actual civil discourse, where you can say what you have to say from both sides. And if you don't have that level, you're not able to have those conversations, then that's where all this violence and all this anger, I guess, represents itself as, right? So he's asking people to be able to have that conversation and to be able to speak freely and have a, like, you know, like an educated opinion about it. Otherwise, it's going to end up in all that violence. And I mean, there's so many stories that he pulled out. And one thing I guess we should address quickly is, we're assuming that everyone knows exactly the moral, or I guess the theme of the special that he did. Sorry. But so it's a Dave Chappelle special. It's 8:46 is the title. And as we know, that's how long that George Floyd was subdued, choked for that amount of time. Right. So that's one of the reasons why he's using that. And he also alluded to a few other things in there, a rich history of police brutality. He mentioned many, many instances of violence, and he tried to look behind it. But this is more of him having a conversation with the audience about what his feelings are at the time and how he's reacting to this. It's not really a comedy special. He uses some comedic moments, and that's why he is who he is. He's able to factor in some jokes in there as he's going through it, but primarily this is an open conversation about the state of what's going on in the U.S. as far as race relations.
And they even talked about guys like LeBron. You know, LeBron has a huge political stance, and it's where he came from. He knew, like, you know, he's got to make a change, right? He's gotta show his kids, you know, what's powerful. It's just the fact that, I think the crazy part is the fact that, you know, African American kids have to have that talk about, hey, you know, the police is not really on your side. you know, but these kids that go to school and, you know, teachers are hearing, oh, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a police officer. You know, yeah, here we have a police officer in the school here. And, you know, he's going to talk about things like that. And, you know, the fact that your parents are saying, well, no, he's not good. Right. Because they treat us bad. So, you know, think about that. Like, I want everyone, whoever's listening to this, think about that for a second, that you're getting, I guess, mixed signals as a kid. You know, let's say you're 6 or 7 and you have to have that talk saying, hey, these guys are bad. They're not here for us. And it's kind of sad because, you know, they should be. You should be there, you know, when you're around, you should be like, oh, you know, the police are here. That's fantastic. But it's the other way around. And I get it. I get the anger. I get the frustration. You know, I've been watching or going on Twitter and, you know, social media and even listening to the news, just hearing people so angry on just situations that are happening where, you know, two kids in Minneapolis, when one was going home from university and there was like 7 cops that pulled him over and took him out of the car, tased him, beat him up. For what? Like, this is just showing that, you know, being a police officer is a really, really bad time. And these guys could be out of a career. Like they don't understand that you could be out of a job. So whatever amount that you're getting, pension and all that could be gone. Like these guys don't realize it. These guys are ruining it for the good police.
Well, I mean, that's it. And that's what's super crazy about it is the fact that Chappelle on there, one of the most famous comedians, right? He's talking about his instances with the police and he's expressing a whole bunch of anger on situations that he's had, the fact that he has to have these conversations with his own family. And then he talks about how when even out in Ohio, he was pulled over the night before. I think the officer's name was Darren Wilson. Talks about how he went out and let Chappelle off of a pass. And the very next day, the same officer is the one who goes out and he shoots and kills
John Crawford,
which is just an insane thing to think that simply because he had a little bit of celebrity, he was treated differently in that situation. And if you're a regular person, you might end up shot and murdered.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's literally showing how much power and how much, you know, police officers could technically play God. Right. And that's what they were doing. They were getting away with things and, you know, they were doing I think people need to realize, like, use your tools wisely. Like, some people feel like they don't have any tools. People have lots of tools to use. The special was great. A lot of knowledge. It's just unfortunate that as a celebrity, he's got to be the one to educate people. It's not people out there just trying to educate themselves, make them understand, try to be on the other side of the fence, right? Make them understand why these people are very upset. Why are they going through all this?
I think you said it right there is Chappelle's on this special 846. He's educating people. He put it out on YouTube, even though it's a Netflix special, because he really wanted everyone to see it. He's educating people. He's doing it in a comedic way, as much as you can weave comedy into a situation like this. And he's providing you also insight into the emotions behind some of these feelings, and he's doing it in an articulate manner. So he's teaching you how to have these hard conversations that you may not want to have. And if you are new to this, if you're experiencing this on your own, if you want to learn more about what this situation is, there's no better way to do it than
message me.
Yeah, message Nick or watch Dave Chappelle's special. It's on there for it's a half hour quick viewing, but it hits all the notes that you should be going over and reviewing at a time like this. So hats off to Dave Chappelle. And I mean, there's very few other comedians, celebrities, even politicians, poets that I think could have pulled it off the way that he did. And yeah,
well, you won't see another comedian do that. I'll tell you that right now. they'll tell stories of what they think, but you'll never get something in depth like that and just how personal it is. The only person I can think that would actually try to talk would be it's tough. Like who else could you honestly see that could talk and tell a story? Like the only way I can see it is like guy like Eddie Griffin, for example. I feel like he would tell a story, but it's going to be more of a generic story about.
Yeah, I was going to say like a guy like Cat Williams, but you're just going to get the experience part from it, like the education
you're just going to get the generic story that like, okay, well, yeah, like everyone knows, right? Mm. But you won't get the education in depth and how much meaning it has to it, right?
Hey, I was surprised by how impactful it actually was and how much it actually felt like you were having a conversation with someone. So if you haven't seen it, go make sure you check it out. And make sure you come back and hit us up at thirstworldproblems.ca. Hit us up on IG. Let us know how you felt after watching it or what your takeaway was. And I think that's going to do it for now. And you've got anything else to say, Nick, I think it's time for another drink.
100%.
All right, cheers. Boys, it's can cocktail season. We got a lot of new cocktails coming out. They're going to be in some cans here. I'm going to tell you guys some flavors. You tell me what you're interested in drinking. We've got a whiskey lemonade, whiskey and cola. You've got a rum punch.
Whiskey and cola, man. You got me already. I don't need to hear anything else, man.
A whiskey and seltzer. Rum and mango. And a rum and seltzer. So we got a lot of people coming after these White Claws, all these hard seltzers. Are you loyal to vodka? Do you want to try one of these other alcohols in there? Is there another flavor out there that you really want to get into? Let's start here with B. Where's your heart?
I want to try something. Honestly, the stuff that you said, I don't really want to try it, but I'll give it a shot. But I want something with something with like watermelon in it. Like I know there's watermelon White Claw, I think there is.
Yep.
But I want something with watermelon or something very summery. But other than that, that cola and whiskey you said sounds pretty damn good.
What kind of whiskey is it?
Jack Daniels. So Jack Daniels and Bacardi are getting into the canned cocktail game here.
See, if I had my own drink, I would do a type of whiskey with PC cola, man. I would change the game because everyone wants Coca-Cola or Pepsi. You know, you gotta change it. If you did PC Cola with a whiskey, I'm telling you, man, you would bring back every kid whose mom did not want to buy that 24 pack of Coke. Instead, they bought the PC Coke for 48 pack, and just brought that home. That was good for the. Not even good for the month, man. That was just good for the week at the time. So if you did something like that, that would have been gold.
That whiskey lemonade sounds nice and summery to me. And everyone's quality is a nice shot. So I think whiskey lemonade by Jack Daniels is what I'm leaning towards.
I would actually do, this is not going to answer your question. I'd probably do like a gin watermelon with a hint of cherry in it.
So what are you going to do for the cherry? Are you talking about the fruit itself, a syrup? What do you think of the cherry flavor?
Bro, I'm going to tell you something. There's no syrup, okay? There's no syrup in any of my drinks, okay? The only syrup in my drinks is the Coke. That's it, man.
So a nice cherry Coke, is that what you say?
Nice. So you want anything, all you want is cherry Coke, that's it.
Pretty much.
All right, let's get into our next question. We're going to do this kind of Rooster Crow style here. So we're going to call it like an extended Rooster Crows. We're going to have a bunch of topics that we're going to go through. We'll say let's get into them for about 3 minutes each. And then once the time's done and we move on to the next thing. Let's start off with your boy, Akon, teaming up with 6ix9ine to do part 2 of Locked Up. What are you guys' initial thoughts on this?
Track sounds pretty good. you know, sounds pretty good. I just can't really press play after, you know, what this guy did. But I guess at the same time, like, song's a song, but I don't really, and see, this is where it comes when we were talking about is supporting one person versus the whole league and stuff. I would go like for him, I would be like, no, I'm not supporting you.
Never,
Akon just wants a quick bag though, right? We know that.
Never liked Locked Up and don't care about the second.
Really? Wow. Oh, I like that song, man.
One of the things that came up was that Tory Lanez has been trying to get Akon to do a sequel or a remix with him. And then he goes and he does it with 6ix9ine. So Tory Lanez was kind of choked about it, saying that he can't believe this is happening. So he's just going to go back to bed.
Yeah, but Tory Lanez
can't believe this is happening.
Tory Lanez literally steals like half of everyone else's stuff from the early 2000s. So what does it matter?
And then this is an interesting one too. So we're talking about art and artists. Nicki Minaj is doing a remix with him, or not a new remix. They're doing a new song together called Trolls, and the whole thing with 6ix9ine and the whole underage sexual misconduct thing, and now Nicki teaming up with him. Some of her fans are being like, "Yo, what are you doing here? You're trying to empower women, and now you're going this guy that you know has a no like convicted like known case for getting with the young underage ladies." So, what do you think? We said Daycon's just trying to grab a quick bag. Is it the same thing? Is it the same pass for Nicki in this situation?
Nicki Minaj hasn't been relevant since she left Meek Mill, so that's all I gotta say about that.
Oh, sporting his boy Meek Mill hard.
Right, full Meek supporter right there.
No, I'm in the same camp as that. Like anyone who, you know, even we say Akon's obviously trying to get the bag and stuff, but at the same time, those morals seem like they're just on the ground, right? So I don't know what to say about that, but I'm sure he's going to get the streaming hits, right? That seems like what they're worried about. He doesn't worry. He's not worrying about, you know, these crazy allegations, which he really should be, but maybe he doesn't care. That's what it seems like, right? He should be though.
Hey man, cash rules everything around them.
Yeah, true that.
And you guess so. Thought it was a bumping track, right, B?
Well, it sounds good. Like, the vocals and stuff sound good, right? Like, just because someone's done something doesn't mean their music doesn't sound good, right? But it's, you know, are we going to give this guy a second chance? Or are we going to be like, well...
I'm going to stop
you. Know, he's... I hate that rooster, man.
Stop you right there. And we're going to move on to the next topic right here. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is the UFC. So, Nick, this one I want you to start off on. You got John Jones complaining. You got the BMF, Jorge Masvidal. He's complaining. You've got some guys coming out of the woodwork now complaining that they're not getting a good deal from UFC and that they want to renegotiate their contracts before their next fights. What are your thoughts on how Dana's handling this situation?
Well, let's start with John Jones here. John Jones will never get the deal that he wants because, one, he's a crackhead. Two, he's he could have been the greatest fighter of all time, but that's going to go to Amanda Nunes. John Jones literally doesn't deserve anything. That he's just going based off of talent. Again, if he continued, if he was on a good streak, if he could have been the LeBron of MMA, it's not happening. And who's the other guy?
Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, he literally has only one big fight under his belt. He has a fastest knockout, but he's not proven, man. The reason why these guys are upset is because this island, they think Dana White bought this island. Dana White didn't buy the island. The UFC did. So with the UFC buying this island, they're doing that so guys from international overseas can fight for the company that they work for. People need to understand that. And again, that's just poor lack of education and poor PR.
The question is that a fair deal?
No, not at all. It's not even close. How can the people who are being filmed and the people who are waiting to watch fight only get 20% of the whole revenue? Makes zero sense. These are the kind of things that I think it's going to come bite them in the ass eventually, right? This is what spurs like competition and other brands and like they better do it right or I think they could get into some trouble, honestly.
Well, you got to look at this. One, there's no fans in attendance, so there's no gate revenue, right? two, the UFC is still paying these guys when a lot of these fighting companies are not even in business right now. So they should be happy with what they have. If they want to go somewhere else, go somewhere else. But good luck with who you fight. Good luck with your exposure. Good luck getting paid, man. You chose that life. Accept it.
So the next topic we have is Michael Jordan. So shortly after all the situation that happened with George Floyd came out, Michael Jordan came out and he was strictly opposed to what was going on. It was one of his first political statements. Once again, if you want to call it political, but it was one of his first statements dealing with anything outside of basketball. He went on to then pledge $100 million in relief to help stop some of the racial disparity that was going on around the United States. A lot of his fans came up and said, finally, this is what we were waiting for. Thanks, Jordan. You're doing a good stuff. Other people said, too little, too late. Where were you this whole time? So what do you feel about that? And where's your stance on that, B?
People are always going to have a problem, man. That's what I think. Anything you do, they're going to go back and say you did this or that. I think it's huge. You donated $100 million, man. How you can't do better than that. And Jordan is black culture, right? So anyone who could have brought it up, he's the best to bring it up. And he nailed it, I think.
100%. 100 million, 10 million for the next 10 years. This guy did something. Again, like he said, why does he have to be in politics? He's just a basketball player. He can stick. He can do whatever he wants with his life. He doesn't have to be a part of anything. The fact that people want him to be, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? He's not educated for it. Not saying he is not understanding, but he's not in that role where he can make decisions where people are going to feel good. He doesn't do that. He understands that. That's why he doesn't say anything. When you have other guys who are trying to say things, they just get in trouble for it. So look at when people are going, well, I don't see what Kevin Hart is saying. Why the fuck do you want Kevin Hart to say something? Do you think he gives a shit, man? Focus on what the reality is. If you care about what celebrities care, then you basically need to correct yourself.
I guess the argument here is it a PR stunt? So after the Last Dance, some people said he came across as looking a certain way, right? And then a lot of his former teammates were upset with him. And then revelations started to come out where they did have the tape of him talking about how he didn't want Isaiah on the team. Or Steve Kerr says the fight didn't quite go down the way that he said it did on Last Dance. And now all of a sudden, once again, to get back in the good books, he's giving up 100 mil. Is that what it is? Or is it?
Hey, man, he hasn't done really anything crazy bad or criminal or anything like that. Everything that people bring up is to do with his basketball career, and those ups and downs always come. So, you know, I'd recommend people to find something else to fucking complain about.
Michael Jordan does not give a rat's ass what you think about him. It's as simple as that. There's a reason why he's the GOAT. There's a reason why these guys who wear size 8s buy size 12s and 13s and resell them. And that's just the way it is. Jordan has these guys in the palm of his hand forever, and he's going to make crazy amounts of money. Go look at these other celebrities who've only donated so little, right? Are you going to say something about them? Why is it that Michael Jordan has to do so much when these other guys who are in the spotlight all the time are doing so little? Explain that, right?
Man, the one that caught me and threw me for a loop, and I had to like
double check. Chris Jericho?
That's a good one. So the one that threw me for the loop was BTS. I had to go back and take a look. BTS donated something like $100,000 to Black Lives Matter causes. A Korean pop band that I had no idea even knew what was going on over here. Just wild.
Hey, man, everyone knows there's a lot of protests in China and Hong Kong and Japan and stuff, too. So there you go.
You're right. Just shows that it's a global reach. Now, this one is dipping his toe back into the whole Black Lives Matter situation. So they're saying now, and more information is coming out from a few.
Hold on. Can I tell you Chris Jericho's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking it up. Chris Jericho's net worth, as apparently, is $18 million. So not bad for a wrestler. And he donated $2,000 to, I don't know what fund, some Kickstarter thing, $2,000. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's like
just when think you think of it as what you muster it.
Yeah, that's like if you're like, you know, let's say you made a really, really huge movie and you know, you got like $2 million in your pocket. Let's say that, okay? Your net worth is $2 million, you go to a restaurant and you finish eating and all of a sudden you got a tip. Now, a normal human being would tip whatever 15%, but as you, since you're a star, people know who you are, you're making a little bit more than everyone else. Obviously, you're going to tip a little bit more luxurious, right? Maybe like $100 tip, maybe a $200 tip. You know what I mean? Just to say, hey, good PR move, right? I'm just saying, as a PR, you, as him being a wrestler and the first guy, you could have been like, here's 10K or here's 20K.
You see what Virgil Abloh or Kanye's, he used to work with Kanye for fashion design and stuff like that?
Yeah, the streetwear guy. Yeah, he did like, what was it?
$50
Yeah, he did $50. A guy who works for Gucci, who makes crazy amount of money, he donated $50, man.
Finding the Gucci store over there.
Crazy, man.
Oh, that was like the meme of the Beagles, where they were doing this big interview about how, like, how they were helping schools, and then it shows them holding like one of those giant oversized checks, and the amount on the check was $1,000 from all three of them.
Fuck, I could have downloaded. I could have donated fucking four or five times that, man.
The check's probably worth itself like $300 just to make that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's funny. I haven't seen that picture, actually.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
All right. Migos is such a great group. Like, they're just... I can't even explain what they are, man. They're just a trio of just... Like, how do you put that type of music together? You just can't. Like, you can't. Only those three can put that
type of music together. We're to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So getting back into dipping our toes here into the Black Lives Matter situation, and let's see if this changes things at all for anyone in the conversation. They're saying that the guy that killed him there, Derek Chauvin, also used to work security at the same club that that George Floyd used to work at, and they always kind of used to butt heads because Chauvin would always use excessive force on a lot of the patrons there. So what they're saying is, not only did they know each other, but there was dislike between each other. So seeing this and hearing just that part of it, and there's a little other part to it, but knowing just that, would it take away some of the sting or add more of it, knowing that this guy knew him? So it could be on a personal level. Does that add to...
Oh, I think it adds. I think it adds because it seems like you could even throw a wrench into that. It's a little bit premeditated. Then he thought that, you know, if he ever saw this guy or ever had the chance or, you know, thought he could get away with it, he would do it. And he did it. Right. So that's what I think about it.
I think it's just crazy that having that type of relationship with someone. And I mean, that's the thing. This was a job that he did after hours. And even at the club, like, they didn't let him go. They still had him out there or whatever. And it just shows just how much people can get away with when it's just the worst of the worst, and that people still get away with it constantly. I just don't understand how you let shit escalate to that point, man.
Yeah, that's never happened to me ever in my life. I don't know how the relationship was, or all I knew is the guy shouldn't have never been a cop, right? So
that
seems like, well, seems like that was pretty evident when he would use force on people, even in the club. So how did he get past these checks and balances, right? So,
well, like, on a positive note, you know, George Floyd's daughter can say his dad actually changed the world, because this is literally changing the world, right? So, you know, a lot of people want to change it. Fortunately, he died due to a mishap. But again, his death is literally changing everyone's perspective on everything. This is literally happening with the blink of an eye. Like, so what's going to happen next week? Who knows? But all I know is, apparently, you know, people who are at the White House right now, they live on Black Lives Matter Avenue, which is crazy. That's literally, that's in their mail now. And
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah. So, you know, and the crazy part is they're literally kicking down like slave statues in Virginia and all these other places and literally throwing them in the river. And like, it's about time. Even NASCAR, man, like NASCAR is saying, hey, no more Confederate flags.
Like, that's huge, man. That's rooted in NASCAR,
right? Dude, if NASCAR can say no longer Confederate flags are available, the NFL can swallow their pride and do it. I'm just saying. So if NASCAR can do it, anyone can do it, man. That's you'll never ever hear me say that again, but this episode, if NASCAR can do it, anyone else can do it. Another crazy thing is they're tearing down in Boston, man, Christopher Columbus. They're tearing that statue down because Christopher Columbus is known for, you know, he was trying to find India and, you know, bring people like Bog and I, who are not really good at hard work, making us into, you know, slaves and stuff, right? So he was trying to do that and people thought he was, you know, a genius. But again, that's what they wanted you to portray. But he was really, you know, whenever there's Columbus Day, that's when I go all out and just bash him hard. So, but on a serious note, like the Columbus crazy part is if you think about how many statues there are of just slave owners and just,
oh, there's somehow, a lot.
Yeah, yeah, there's tons. Nice. And the fact that no one ever, we're in 2020 now and all of a sudden we decided to tear these statues down is just crazy. I don't know what's going to happen with all these cities or towns that are named after these slave owners, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to change it now? What are you going to change it to? Right? Think about all these years that you've lived in this one town. Now all of a sudden you got to change it. That's probably going to be something tough to
make swallow. Sense though, man. Like if it's under racist roots, like you really want to change stuff, you can't have that lingering around.
You can't, right? Have that lingering around. Look at Columbus. How, like, people that live in Columbus. Oh, is it Columbus?
Yeah, they're 50-50 on the guy, right?
Are you going to change that? Are you going to change that name now? Right? So now you got to change everything. Yeah. Everyone's got to change everything. So it's either you do it cold turkey, or if you're gradually doing it, then it's going to take years and years to change it up, right?
All right, let's end it on this. So there's a couple big gaming announcements coming out. You've got the Xbox, I think it's what called Series X. You've got the new Sony PS5, and they're
talking. Can I add something? What's the worst gaming console you've ever had?
That I've ever had?
Yeah.
the worst gaming console that I ever had was a TurboGrafx-16. And I got it late into the game though. So like everyone was already transitioning into newer
everyone's transitioning to an Xbox 360 or what?
And I'm still trying to play Bonk's Adventure.
Bonk's Adventure. Keith's Courage. What about you, Bill? B?
Me, probably I don't know, probably something handheld, probably like a 3DS or something, or like a DS I had for like a week before I returned it. But in terms of actual consoles I've had, I was never really a big fan of, like, I liked the PS3, but I didn't really, wasn't a big fan of it because the party chat and stuff like that back then.
Yeah.
I was, because I remember I had it and I couldn't play it because you can't talk to anyone. So that was probably not because of the games or anything, but just because of that reason alone. But that I'd probably say that.
Mine was probably a PS3 for sure. That was probably one of the worst.
Yeah. It was crazy because the console was so nice. Remember like the original one, such a nice finish. It's a big like, I don't know. It just looked really cool. Like all the technology, like the cell all this crazy shit.
I remember them saying like the cell processor and everything. It just literally looked like a PS2.
It was actually a big push, but and the dashboard just was the most plain fucking PSP dashboard. Yeah, right?
I remember I bought it and I was just playing PS2 games on it.
That's like,
because there was nothing good out. Like, you're just like, what is this? I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack on this, but 360, man, I think that was probably the worst. The Rings of Death.
Yes.
Everyone, like, you had to go through four of them, man. And that was like $1,000 in the end as a kid. You went through that and you're still like not satisfied. It just wasn't, the party chat was great. It was fantastic. You had the headset and everything, but man, you can't play longer than 3 hours, then it's just going to blow up on you.
Well, that's what's so crazy was that was like one of the first systems where it became okay for like, it just to die on you. And I don't know if you remember, but like there was a period before.
The 360 was like that too, right?
Well, that's what he's talking about is 360.
Yeah, there were those red rings. And
red rings, but then you gotta put a towel around it.
I never thought of it.
You put a towel around it, just let it heat up.
You put the towel because the glue loosens like inside the motherboard, so sometimes it, like, whatever's moving in there can slip back into place and it'll start working it.
So that's literally why you were pretty much putting the towel around it and just praying it's just gonna slide back.
Or you can do what I did. I bought a new one, put the old one in there, and returned it to Superstore.
Well, that was the scabs. But that was before, like, before Microsoft was even like, okay, like, my bad. Then they started to refund it later on and like later in its life. But at the start, like, they were just like, no, man, you just have to take it out.
No, they extended the warranty. Remember, they extended it to like 3 years or something.
Yeah, but
they didn't refund shit, man. Well, I don't think they refunded anything.
Yeah. Well, they at least gave you a new one at the start of all the red rigs. Like, they were
saying, refurbished one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the start, they weren't even giving you that. They were like, oh, it's not our fault, man. It's not our fault. You're just playing too much. And you just imagine for Christmas, like, you've been waiting all year to get that. This dies on you. And there's like,
kid just passes out. Man.
All right, folks. Hope
this guy didn't even answer this question.
Right? You didn't even ask about the PS5, man.
We got sidetracked.
Yeah, so we just had a quick segment on the fucking 360s, fucking red rigs. worst segment. 360, pretty good warranty. That's it, folks.
Let us know what's going on with the games that you're going to be playing. Thanks for listening, Thirst World Problems. And make sure you check out the website and drop us some feedback at thirstworldproblems.ca.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.